again, everyone, and welcome back to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh.
Yes, you are Wayne Cavanaugh, and I'm Will Alexander again this morning.
The world's a better place that you're here.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like it is. Sometimes I feel like it's not. Sometimes I don't.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about today. We're going to talk a little bit about advertising, about setting boundaries between a handler and its client, if that's the case. Breeding to the people that you don't necessarily like, and meeting up with some great guys at the Winter Garden Specialties, the great Desi Murphy and his new announcement, and Steve.
Yeah, Hunter, that's exciting, isn't it?
Old friends, yeah. All that and more on the Dog Show Drive.
I'm born to run down rocky cliffs. Give me grace, bury my sins, shattered glass.
How are you?
Oh, good, Wayne. How you doing?
Spectacular. It's a little chilly down here in the tropics of Michigan.
You're not down here. If you look on a map, if you look where I am and where you know. Are, you're
we're
not
in the same place,
there,
buddy.
We're pretty well.
It's 3 degrees. 3 degrees is 3 degrees. Yeah, we're really on the same parallel, just about, right?
Yeah.
But I can even say about. No, how boot. Do you do that?
A boot. The boot. We're going out the boot.
Out in the boat. No, they still do it in Wisconsin. The farther north you get in Michigan, you'll hear it far more.
Yeah, you will. You'll get that Fargo talking. Yeah, I'll go Bears, go. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know if you watch American football, but holy mackerel.
Well, I didn't watch it all because we have hockey going on here, but I did watch some of it, and it sure looked pretty exciting, almost as exciting as a hockey game there, buddy.
I mean, you get 3 seconds left and you can win a game. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
There's something like 24 points scored in less than a minute or something.
Well, the Bills are near and dear up here in Toronto. So,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
That's
Josh Allen.
Right across. Well, we can go right across and watch them. And then that was always the deal. And then there was talk about when they were having their struggles, they were going to start playing some games up here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember so, that.
They
won't have any struggles with Josh Allen now.
No.
He's
the real deal. So is that Burrow kid. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I can't wait. I'm like, this week's interesting to me when I see those two going head to head.
Well, you need to get those guys on the Maple Leafs. Give them a couple skates.
Yeah. Well, we don't like it when people dance when they score.
Oh, boy. Oh, that does not go down well at all. Yeah, a little too much selling. You're gonna lose a couple of teeth. Speaking of which, you probably don't remember this. A lot of people don't remember that. When I was a third line grind guy on the Maple Leafs in '64, and won the cup. And, and during the game, I got this front tooth here, right here, right here.
Yeah.
I got it cracked pretty good, so I had to have a cap put on it, and it's been there since '64.
Yeah.
And this weekend, I'm in the ring.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. This weekend, I'm in the ring, and I'm like, this feels funny.
Oh no.
But I got through the weekend. Thank goodness I got through the weekend. And I got home and I got off the plane and it split right in half.
You know, my buddy Garrett Lambert, when he was showing dogs, he lost a tooth. I remember how he did it, but he lost a front tooth. He spent the whole weekend with a chiclet, a real chiclet.
Seriously? Well, this is still on there. It's just that it's split in half. So I went to the dentist as soon as I got back, and I put some glue in there and pushed it back together until I get. So I've got to go.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. I was going to just take it out and introduce myself as Steve.
You got a mask on.
Yeah. I'm just going to be Steve Downey for a while, but he's got more than one missing.
Well, I have to tell you, I know it was horrible. I'm glad she's okay, Mary, but I was watching the video of you at the end of the raid when Mary Merlo went down. And I sent her a message. I'm really glad you're okay. Everything's good. I said, but I can't stop watching the video. I watch it and I laugh every time.
Did you see what somebody else put up with Adam running into the post?
Oh, that's a great one.
That's the funniest one ever. I'm glad he's all right. That was the funniest one ever. That looked like something from some old vaudeville show. Bam! And he went flying.
Crazy for a while. We should get that viral again.
Well, someone posted on that thread about Mary's fall. And I've seen Mary fall.
You know, she falls a lot.
Yeah. So I walked over and slowly, and Peter was trying to help her up, and she's like, I got this. She jumps up, hikes up her pants. I took her puppy. And this is a 6 month, three day old puppy. It's a tooth that's doing it.
Oh, yeah.
And she biffs, I mean, hard, flat on her face. So I walk over slowly and I take the puppy because she, you know, was on. So I just take the lead and she's wagging her tail. And Mary got up and took another step and that puppy's tail went right up around the ring she won.
Yeah.
She never lost a step, you know.
But I had to keep watching. I love my friend Mary and I had to keep watching. It just made it was like a vaudeville thing, especially the way someone needs to put music to it because it was perfect, you know.
Well, the funniest thing was there was no urgency of anybody getting there. No one went flying over. Nobody. Peter wandered over
and
we've seen this before. But bless her heart, you know. And boy, she had a nice puppy too.
She's a warrior, that Mary Barlow.
At least in my opinion. I have to tell you, we'll get to the Winter Garden specialties. But anyway, we can start with that.
Yeah,
I had a great time.
We got to go. It's snowing outside.
I know, it's true. Well, you know. I was a little, I think more than a few people were a little concerned because without the garden, the Winter Garden specialties aren't going to attract the entries. And they didn't, it was off almost 40%, 30%, something like that. Quite a big drop in entries, but the quality was there for sure. And I got to tell you, all these clubs did an amazing job. This thing hummed. I mean, it was just smooth as silk. Great hotel. I don't trouble with my room, but of course, because, you know, the luck of the Irish, it was 61 degrees and they couldn't get the heat fixed.
we got to make him feel at home, make him feel comfortable.
That's right. He's coming from the tundra. Let's make him feel at home. Well, fortunately, I had two double beds. So I took all the bed clothes off the other bed and doubled down. I was fine. You know? And the guy at midnight comes up and fixes it for me. And it was something simple, like someone had disconnected the hose. The boiler in the hotel broke. But we all thought it was that. And mine never went back on like everybody else's. But they just were so helpful. And the restaurant's very nice. And the staff was unbelievable. I mean, they're just really pleased to have everyone there. And there was Dobermans there as well and Dachshunds. I didn't get to see the Dachshunds, but there's so many ballrooms. They could probably have 10, 15 specialties there.
Really?
Yeah, and they're nice big ballrooms with good lighting.
Are they going to have them there again next year, I wonder?
I don't know, but it was a hit. The only issue was it's carpet only, no mats.
Yeah, we get used to that.
But they got used to it. And what I did, well, I didn't do it. I don't know who did it. It might have been Jamie Lamphere, but somebody got a nice wet Purina towel and put it in the ring. So I just had all the dogs, and I would say towel optional, because some dogs went, oh no, I'm going to get my nails cut.
<You know? laughs> Some towel. Don't want to get their feet wet.
towel, get my nails cut up on the non-table. So they just stood in front, and the ones that wanted to. And the ones that wanted to not only got more traction, but their feet were wet. So when they went around the ring, they had a little better thing going on.
Oh, we always had stood our dogs in wet towels, especially those specialties. They're on carpet. Sometimes the clubs would give us heck because we put wet towels on their carpet, but it's the only way to do it.
It worked great. It worked wonderful. I had a great time doing the German short hair sweepstakes. That was a pleasant surprise for me. The nicest people. And, you know, I take time with every dog and, I got some nice comments about it, but that's the point was I just wanted to. And my thing is, you have to assume in a sweepstakes or any time that this is the first time this dog's ever been in the ring. You don't want it to have a bad experience.
Right.
And you want it to be positive and you want it to be, you know, the dog. I don't care if it's standstill. And I told everyone that it's not a standstill contest. Don't worry about it. I want them to have a good time and leave here thinking they had a great day. And I had so much fun. And the nice part was, a young dog puppy walked in the ring and I thought, well, this is over. I mean, he's beautiful. You know, it's a breed that's pretty clear about square or off square between the buck and the rump. Yeah, between the fortress and the rump. And boy, you just don't see it often, you know, anymore. And this bugger, and he had bone, he was beautiful. It just was everything fit together. And I gave him best in sweeps, of course. And then the next night I was having dinner with Steve Herman, who did German short hairs. And he was telling me about this beautiful puppy.
He breeds short hairs, doesn't he?
German short hair. Yeah, he used to breed, he still owns them.
Yeah.
He's telling me this beautiful puppy that he gave Winner's Dog, Best of Winners, and Best of Opposite over all the dog specials.
Wow.
And fortunately, it was the same puppy. I was very pleased about that. But yeah, nice short hairs. And he had a nice bitch to match this dog. That was fun to watch. It's a breed I really enjoy. You know, you don't have to get too hung up on all the finer points. You know, it's not like a pointer, all the little nuances in their head and ears and tail. And there's plenty of finer points, don't get me wrong. But it's a nice make and shape breed that appeals to my eye when you see it, right? It's beautiful. It's like a good flat coat silhouette. You can, when you see it, it's just beautiful.
And it's a breed really that hasn't changed a whole lot. It's like, you look at some of the, you look at the dog from the garden years ago and Gretchen and Gretchen's mother, and that dog could compete today too. It's that breed that they had in order to do their job. They kind of had to keep that same form and function, mm-hmm. and the type has stayed. So
if they do get longer and lower, they're going to be worthless in the field.
Yeah. Breed that needs to work too long in the field, if it's, you know, what's going to break down, you know,
especially if the length is in the loin. And we've said it before, but Jesus, you still see it winning. Anyway, that was fun. And the English Setter Club, the Hudson English Setter Club is the day that I did. My dad and Sally Howe, Lourdes Fernandez, and plenty others got this club going in 1964, and I was a junior.
You were still playing for the Leafs.
I was still playing for the Leafs. I had to come down on weekends. Back then, they let you smoke a cigar, have a beer, and come back across the boards and still play hockey. But same year, it really was that the club got formed. The club was formed, and I was a junior member. We had a junior club too, and it was Laurel Howe. And Holly Howe, who is now Hallie Forbes. Holly breeds Spinonis now. But it was so much fun to see some of those people that were in that club. And boy, they did a great job putting it together. And they gave me a wonderful briefcase with the Hudson English Setter Club logo on 1964. Yeah, it was really nice. And the dogs were great. I had some real nice puppies and some real nice veterans too. It was really fun. I had a great time. And
that's like a homecoming. That's cool.
It was. In fact, it was a little, I was a little like, this is, it was cool to walk up to that ring and see that and see the full circle. Right. Irish setters were great. I had a couple specials I'd never seen before that really were nice. And the dog, the puppy, not because of a pity fall.
that was in the breed level already. So
yeah. She was best of winners pretty quick. And I was really unhappy to hear that I didn't discover her, that Desi did the same thing the day before.
Well, that
Desi. So I have an issue with Desi. I wanted to do it all by myself.
Yeah. Oh, who's Desi? What has he ever done for us?
Well, I found out later that he did it too.
Everything.
Well, let me tell you who Desi is, and this is interesting. He was, we had dinner together, first night I got there. And, his interest in this game, I don't know if anybody can match his passion and interest. He wants to know everything all the time. And he was telling me that some people will come up to him and say, oh, how did you get started in dogs? He's like, well, my uncle, my father, you probably didn't hear of him. And I remember when his uncle won the group at the Garden, was it Best in Show at the Garden with Carmichael's Fanfare, Scotty.
Sure. Well, sure.
I think it was his uncle. But yeah, that's a family, that's a dynasty of royalty in that family. And I was so pleased that he's doing Best in Show. It was just announced this week. He's doing best at the Invitational, or what do they call that now? I call it Royal Canin or Royal Canin.
Yeah, it's the AKC Royal
Canin. AKC National something.
Yeah.
Not the other national championship. Two national something and then whatever. But we all know what we mean by Orlando, right?
Yeah, we just say AKC usually.
Yeah, it's an enormous show. And just that's so much quality there. But I'm so pleased that he got the nod for best in show. So that's good news, and we look forward to seeing how that sorts down there.
Oh, that'll be fun. That'll be fun.
Yeah. Lots of scuttlebutt about when the garden's going to be. I can tell you when it's going to be. when it happens, when it is. So stop. No sense making it up. You might as well wait, right?
Once they figure it out, they'll let us all know. So.
Yeah. And Steve Herman, I had dinner with as well, and we did some great chat back and forth about short hairs and such. But I moved to Florida with Cheryl. I got a job transfer down there 40 years ago, maybe. You think it was your birthday?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a while ago. And I had pointers, and I went to my first show, and I walked up to the ring, and it was me and another special. And it was this guy named Steve Herman. And I've never met a more kind, honest, level-headed competitor.
Yeah.
Right away, we hit it off. And it was kind of like having two goalies in the team where the parents get along together. It was that kind of thing. You know, we just, I was thrilled when he won, he was thrilled when I won. And it was just wonderful. So we go way back, way, way back. And we, you know, of course, we only lived there for 2 years. And I don't get to see him often. I hadn't seen him in a long time. And it was just great to catch up. You forget about how those friendships are the things that bind you.
Well, for sure. And Steve is such a good guy. I always look forward to seeing Steve in the Florida circuit. Either he's competing or just watching or he's judging. I always wait to see him. He's
a classic act, act for sure. And, you know, he was quite a famous attorney down there.
Was that neat?
Yeah, some giant federal cases. And famous stuff. Anyway, thank you all to those clubs. They were great. The participants, the exhibitors, the breeders were just, you know, a lot. The East Coast dogs were there, and it was just nice to see them. But dogs came from other parts as well. It's a bit to get to. It's only 15 miles from the White Plains Airport.
Oh.
But it's my new least favorite airport.
And yeah. Why is that?
Well, it's about the size of my living room, and there's 15 gates, and we're all right next to each other. So there was a plane leaving for Florida, and you couldn't move. You know, it was just ridiculous. And they had two gates next to each other. They're like, now make sure if you're going to Florida, you stay in the left door. It's the right door for Detroit.
And don't wander off the ramp, on the track.
It was just a little too many people and too many doors and too many flights in one place. Well, this is when I got in trouble, Will. There was a flight delay because evidently the airplane door wouldn't close. And that's never a good thing, you know. So the pilot came out. It was kind of like the old show Wings when there was one gate and the pilot ran the airport. Kind of like that. He came out and explained just how the door wouldn't close and it could take a few minutes. Well, it ended up taking a long time. So when they announced yet another delay, a series of which I endured on the way home, I said, this place, and I had another word, and I had my mask on. And I thought I was speaking into my mask, Will. I did. Evidently, that was not the way. I didn't realize that when you speak into your mask, it projects beyond the scope of the mask and other people can hear.
Yeah, that's not our own little cone of silence.
No. I thought it might be, but I've proved that it was not the case. And if you can picture cute little old New York City lady, adorable with the Bichon, you know, hanging over her shoulder, 4'10". Yeah, 4'10". And she tugs on my sleeve and went, you're right, son. It does suck.
And you got called son. Excellent.
Yes.
So it wasn't that bad.
It was wonderful. It was wonderful. So there was a bonding moment there. She was classic. She was terrific. Her accent was so thick and wonderful. So anyway, I did get home, I think 8 hours.
Oh gosh!
Past hours scheduled. Really? This is the romance of travel. Pardon me.
Was that long? Was that much delay? 8 hours. Holy.
Yeah. Combined.
Yeah.
Between the two flights, because you've got crew shortages, and then we had snow, and in Detroit they don't care if it snows. Evidently, in White Plains they do. And then we had the broken plane with the door, and then there was just another delay because the plane didn't get in from somewhere else. But I had 3 hours set aside in the Sky Club in Detroit to sit and write. And I got 45 minutes and a cold sandwich, so it was all right.
And is it like an hour and a half flight? How long is that flight?
Well, the flight's, yeah, not just about hour 45. Yes. And the flight from Detroit to Kalamazoo is 29 minutes. But that's no way. That's not the with Detroit. You have to. It's one of my favorite airports. It's a beautiful airport, and it's never that crowded, and it really runs well. It's beautiful, but there's a reason, I guess, that it runs so well because it's so spread out. When the planes land there, that's the first part of your flight. It's a good half hour taxi to the gate. Same way on the way out, and when you have to de-ice. And then you still can't take off. You got to get back in line to de-ice. That's what happened. That can take a while. So you're sitting there on the plane for an hour waiting for it to de-ice. But it wasn't bad. You know, when I got home, had a great time and saw some old friends. And
Oh, yeah.
The Irish setter people.
What you got there. So
yeah. And by the way, the Irish setter people are just like the dogs, right? They're just so happy and so much fun. And they really support each other. And yeah, it was really fun to be part of that. And I really appreciate it. And there you have it. So fine time. And then you get to be adjudicating this weekend, right?
This weekend, I'm flying to Calgary to the Evelyn Kenny Kennel Club. It's run by Sean Nichols. You might know Sean.
Oh, yeah.
Prominent judge. I was very excited to get the offer because initially I didn't get the permanent assignment there because I got I got the okay before he'd already put his judges in.
Oh yeah.
But then apparently Ramon Podesta had to cancel. So that opened up a bunch of us. And being a good guy is he put a bunch of permits in there to help people out. So.
Oh, that's nice. That's really nice.
So looking forward to that. I'm going to see a bunch of friends out there. I was hoping to play in a hockey game because it's Calgary. I missed it by a week because last Saturday was the Edmonton Calgary game.
Oh,
that would have been fabulous. But
that would have been a bond burner, Bill.
Oh, my. Oh, buddy. Don't get us talking like that now. Get an order list. Where are those boys from?
Hey, from New York. What do you think? I was born in Staten Island, New York. I grew up there for about 6 months, and we moved to Jersey. I had a wonderful time over there in Jersey. Good people, good pizza, good subs. What are you talking about? It's beautiful.
You got yourself a weird way of talking, buddy.
I can do any of them. That's what TV does for you. It was a great weekend. I'm looking forward to hearing about your great weekend in Calgary and all the fun that it is inside the ring, which is quite different.
I'm looking forward to it. So
yeah.
I got a few phone calls, wishing me luck yesterday. And, I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent. We'll break a leg.
I'll do my very best.
It's a good thing to say. Don't think I want you to slip and fall.
No, I get it. I get it.
Now, how do you do that?
Like Bobby Bond in the 64, broke his leg and still won the game.
Not a problem. Are you direct from Toronto to Calgary?
Yeah, direct.
Piece of cake.
It should be fine. I did my flight really early because I was always afraid of cancellations. So I did a job for a lady a few weeks ago, and she was flying in from Calgary, and she got delayed overnight. So that was in the back of my head thinking, I better do this early enough that if I get delayed, I can still get there in time. So,
boy, the worst snow thing in flights that ever happened to me, I felt so bad. This club in Bermuda had sold tickets for a lot of money to hear me speak and judge. And the speech was a big fundraiser, and I was it. And I was at Detroit early in the morning, and there was a guy behind me who was a deadhead pilot who flies to Bermuda. And he said, I'm telling you, there's no chance you're getting there. No. And we tried everything. He wanted to get home, too, to his family. They lived in Bermuda. And we ended up staying at the Westin, and I had to call this club and say, I can't get there. And they said, what are we going to do? We sold all these tickets. What are we going to do? What was I going to do?
Yeah.
I never got invited back. I think they were more than happy, but
it's not your fault.
I tried. And by the way, I had to drive home 2 hours in the snow from Detroit the next day. So, but anyway, the romance of travel when it comes to judging, ladies and gentlemen, you got to try it. It's so much fun.
I got a taste of it when I showed P that year, because the last part of the year we did a, we did some traveling around, and it was tight running to gates sometimes and trying to get home, because I always wanted to get home for the weekend to spend time at home. And it was tight sometimes, you know.
Yeah, it is. Well, we'll be talking about some emails and calls. One is a dilemma about advertising. Yep. You want to talk about that?
Well, it was an email about when is it too much? When is the right time to advertise? When is it too much to advertise all the time? My philosophy was advertising is always, you know, it's good for the dogs. I was never that keen on it. But I understand its importance. You know, it's importance for dogs to be recognized, and for their wins to be acknowledged by the fancy.
It's part of the sport.
Yeah, and when I was a kid, it was so important to get those magazines and see these dogs, because it was different back then, because I couldn't go down there and see George Showmarkey. I had to follow in the magazine, so that was very important to me. My complaint with about dogs that get maybe a little over advertised is sometimes they've run their race before they're ready to run their race. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like all front loaded. Yeah.
Well, people get, not that they get tired of seeing them, but it becomes, oh, there he is again, or there they are again. And they get oversaturated in the market before they're ready to really reach their peak. And sometimes it does affect their campaign, their career.
So, yeah.
I don't know. What do you feel about it?
Well, you know, I don't know. I get all the magazines, and everyone will tell you this. They flip through them. I flip through them looking for breeds I'm interested in.
Yeah.
But I eventually turn every page. I don't know I think it can affect, like you said, I agree, you know, too much front loaded stuff and the dog's not ready. The Photoshop thing is a thing that's been a bone of contention with most people. And I was not happy with that, but I can tell you what happens as a judge when you get in the ring. And they don't look like that. They don't look like that. You know? If you're a judge who uses the picture in your head to see what you're saying in front of you, that's too bad. I can't help you. But
I'm sure it's disappointing on some levels. So
yeah, it is. But you know, you get in there and you're like, that's not what this one looks like. And by the way, the one thing you can't see in those ads is how they move. So that can be a surprise. You see all these pictures. There's one going on right now. I won't name the group or the breed, but it's a dog that's been winning quite a bit out of nowhere. And I've seen it move and I don't understand how it's winning. but the pictures are beautiful. So
I always love the ads that were different, that sort of sparked that dog. So it became like, you remember the Manhattan ad where he was in the middle, I think it was in the middle of a desert type area, and he's standing on a gas pump island or something. Yeah. And it says, not your average gas station dog. And those type of things. That was so wonderful. Yeah.
I'll tell you the two ads that I can't stand. One's with cars in them. You know, like I have an expensive car. Here's my car in my picture. I don't care. I've got expensive cars too. I never put them in a picture. The other is dog standing on rocks. I don't know why.
Yeah.
That drives me crazy. We don't breed them enough with an over sloping top line. We got to put them up on a rock so they really have a sloping top.
I understand some of them, because some of them are trying to have that, you know, lion pride overlooking their domain, that type of thing.
Well, like, they put lions out there.
But I understand some of it. It gets to be, you know.
Yeah, I'm not a rock guy. Bring the rock in the ring and see how that works out. But most of the ads are great. I mean, there's so many people now with such great artistic eyes that make beautiful ads, just beautiful ads. There's plenty of them. I see new ones every day. But you know, it's the end of the day, it'd be fun. Like that real creative one, not just a creative picture, but the creative theme, or not your average gas station dog. That was, you can't beat that.
Oh, it was classic. I just loved it. It made you stop and look at it. It was like the old Robert ad too, where he's overlooking, I don't know if it's Grand Canyon or not, and it says soaring above. Well, it gave you, you know, chills, you know. Yeah. Yeah. And, and that was, and I hate to say it, that was really the dog. It was like, I remember the same photographer took a picture, not that, that photographer, took a picture of a win I had. And I said, well, can you take my fingers out of the picture? He said, sure I can. Out came the panty screw. My fingers out. Really? He gave it back to me. Oh, perfect. Thanks. That's free, Will.
That's pretty good.
I did. I ran an ad. This is a while ago. I don't remember what year. Probably. I think it was 2010 or something. But one of our pointers was top sporting dog producer. Stop producing dam. That's what I'm looking for, Will. And I took an ad out, and it said all it said was, "Remember when it was about breeding?" And there was a picture of her, and in small letters, her accomplishment. And her sire and dam's name. If there's anything I could add to every single advertisement, it would be the sire and dam's name. It is about breeding. Wouldn't you like to know who produced that dog?
Yeah, and we used to see a lot of that. If you look at the old 50s magazines, you'd see a lot of that.
Always had it. Always had it. Now it does add breeder. A lot of them do add the breeder. You know, that's very nice. But I sure would like to know the sire and dam mark, because I do. I look at things as a breeder. And I want to know. I want to know.
It just makes that connection too, and especially if it's a line that you've always followed, you think, oh, good, I like that. And
yes, please for it. Or look, a new dog. Yeah, a new line. I haven't heard of. You know, it's pretty cool. I wish they'd start putting that back in. But I don't know if you can have too many. If you can have too few, we didn't run a whole lot of ads at Miss P, and she did just fine.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to have the whole gestalt, you know, the whole team, the handler, the vibe, that whether people like the dog and you and crowd pleasing sort of thing, and you haven't beat it to death. And I think that has a lot going for you too.
I think creative advertising can create a following, not necessarily a following of the judges, but a following for that dog. Like, I showed a beagle years ago for Bill Gear, the same time Woody was showing that other dog, that
Beagle Man.
Yeah.
Beagle Man's ads were great.
And they were great ads. And that dog created that. He got a following because Beagle Man. It made you think of Superman. And it wasn't necessarily the judges. It was the, like, I wanted to go see Beagle Man.
Yeah. No, absolutely. That was a great campaign.
Yeah.
They did use the Superman cape, I think,
They did a couple of times, or at least the logo or something. But it was something, and it was never overdone. It was just Beagle Man, and then the adventures of Beagle Man continue, or something like that. Yeah. And it was just.
And I always liked it. That Wood never had them all done. He just stood there with them. Here he is.
Yeah.
He showed him like a terrier. Here he is. He didn't get down and crank and push and all that for the ads. Anyway, yeah, that was fun. Speaking of Wood and handlers, well, of course, Wood's a handler turned excellent judge, but. You had another one about boundaries between, and I think we touched on this a little bit last.
Yeah, we did. But I someone emailed me after last week and said, could we expound on it a little bit? Because I think we touched on phone calls and whatnot, and where you can draw the line. I'll tell you, I was, when Allison and I were first starting out handling, I got some of the best advice I ever received was from Jordan Chamberlain. Do you remember Jordan Chamberlain?
Yeah.
Poodle guy, great poodle handler, great poodle judge, just a great guy. We were having dinner together, and he pulled me aside, and he was saying how, you know, proud he was that we were doing so well. I'd known Jordan since I was a kid. And he said, important advice to you is don't sell your soul. And I didn't really understand, but you do. You know, you think about putting all your eggs in one basket, and not everybody is this way, but I have had clients where they've tried to entice me into something so that they could have a thumb over me, so they could direct my decisions on the careers of dogs. And I let it happen 1 year, and I stopped it dead in its tracks after that. And, you know, the lure of financial gain sometimes makes you make odd decisions. And this client offered me more money to always stay on their dog in Best in Show. And I felt horrible at the end of the year. I felt I let the rest of my clients down, because I had some dogs that were winning groups that I just didn't get to go on. Now, luckily, I had a great assistant that could go on and they won the odd best
show. They did beat you.
Yeah. But I felt horrible. And I never did it again. I never gave anybody that kind of priority. I always had priority in the groups. Yeah. But I always explained to the client that the dog made the priority. The dog was the one that decided who I showed in that best in show, the dog on that day. Wayne Cavanaugh is judging. He really loves my English setter dog. I'm not going to go on to my beagle and I'm going to stay on my English setter dog because that dog has proved that he's the priority through Wayne.
It's a sticky wicket.
It's hard when you're young. It really is hard when you're young.
It is because you're trying to please everyone, trying to get your traction. And I remember just the opposite with Forsythe. He had a client who went after a judge. You know, why did you put my dog right after the breed judging? And Forsythe found out. And I got to tell you, that client never did that again.
Yeah.
But Bob could do that. What, are you going to fire him? Go ahead. Yeah, see if that works out for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
But oh boy, I remember that day, and Bob didn't get hot often, but oh boy, that client didn't do that twice. You know, one thing about it, learned from working for them is, you know, they went right down the line. If you beat Duke of Norfolk six times in a row, you are still coming back for seven because they just had the respect. And I had dogs showing me this weekend that knew they didn't probably. You never know, though. You don't know who you're against. You know, you just don't know who's going to show up also. And the same would be for selecting who you're going to show for best. You know, maybe you get this great English setter. Well, maybe somebody else is a really good something else that came in from another part of the country. And you're like, ooh, You know, you don't know. It's all about who you're in the ring against. And the dogs can change what your dog looks like, depending, especially in the breed, you know. But
I still feel that you walk in there with what dog you think has the best chances, not because someone's pushing you and saying you have to show my dog. Like I remember sitting in a setup in my setup years ago, and one of my clients said to me, "Well, you know, so and so is the best dog in your setup." I said, "Well, that's interesting." I said, this one over here, so-and-so, Mrs. She thinks her dog is the best dog in my setup. And this person thinks their dog is the best dog in my setup. I said, who's right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. And then there's the magic trucks. Do you know about magic trucks, Will?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Dog walks into that handler's truck, and all of a sudden, it's the greatest one that I ever loved.
Oh, comes up the front ramp, comes up the back ramp. Just
yeah.
Gold, Jerry, gold. But I'll tell you, I had this one client years ago, and he was a bit of a pushy gentleman, and he used to always tell me, give me advice. He'd never shown a dog in his life, but he would do, yeah. Hey, I should do this, I should do that. So I sat back one time, and I remember it was at the AKC show out west, our AKC show, and I said, he was a doctor, I said, when are you doing your next surgery? He said, I got one on Tuesday. I said, well, I'm going to show up there and I'm going to show you how I would do it. He did not. His wife laughed her head off.
I'll bet she did.
He went, I'm quiet. He understood. That's right perfect. Away.
That is perfect. Yeah, I feel the same way about judging sometimes, you know. You get in here and tell me how much fun you're having.
Exactly.
You ever see the person that's always wanted to do sweepstakes and gets the job, and they're just like deer in the headlights, like, oh, you know.
Yeah. Well, the one that's the mouthiest one at ringside, and they put them in there, and it's like, spin the bottle.
That's great. We had another topic come up on breeding to the devil, and I really like this one because I feel so I'm so convinced it would help everybody. If there's a dog that secretly you know is a real good one and it's owned by someone you despise, hike up your pants and breed to it.
That's right.
You've got to do it. There are so many. I can think of a dog in particular who's one of the best I've ever seen in his breed. And he hardly gets bred to. The owners might be difficult, but you got to try. You know, you got to ask, you got to try.
Yeah, what a waste having that dog around and letting your ego get in the way of using it for your breeding program.
Absolutely.
One of my dearest friends up here, Brian Casey, he's Doberman breeder, very prominent Doberman breeder up here. He said, sometimes you got to make a deal with the devil. And he was right. You know, he's right. And that's what he meant.
And I've seen that, not all the time. I've seen that work where those two people set their differences aside because they've got something in common now. That can happen too.
It does bring them somewhat closer because that dog that comes out of the, you know, they're both taking, you know, oh, it's because of my dog. It's because of my dog.
Yeah, of course it is, right? And maybe it makes it worse. I don't know. But yeah, you know, it's one of those things you got to do. And you know, holding a grudge against someone you're going to see every weekend is kind of stupid anyway. Try your best.
It just makes life miserable. You don't want to live like that.
And I can tell you that the sport around you, the breeders around you, when you do that, they're all applauding like, hell yeah, it's about time someone, you know, bred to that dog. But yeah, there's all that in a bag of chips, right, Will?
Sure. I don't eat chips anymore. You know, I'm trying my best to fit in my soup for the weekend.
Yeah, mine got tight this weekend.
Dry cleaners.
Do it all the time. You know? But we did have some instances in the past in certain breeds where enemies got together and it did work out. I shouldn't say enemies. It's usually jealousies and egos is all it is.
It's egos colliding is what it is. Egos get in the way of so much in our sport. Mm-hmm. Get in the way of clubs, they get in the way of dogs, they get in the way of judging. Put your egos aside and just do what's right.
I remember vividly pulling into a showgrounds with Cheryl. And we were driving through this little dirt road, you know, in between the trees to get to the rings, real beautiful bucolic setting. And this guy walks across up front. He's got an English setter. I said to Cheryl, yeah, guy, I cannot stand that son of a bitch. He's just the most annoying idiot that ever walked this planet. I'll never do anything for him. I don't have to. Well, I had to that day. I think it was Winner's Dog, Best of Winners, and Winner's Dog, Winner's Bitch, and Best of Breed. He had the best one.
I have a story I got to tell. And it just reminded me of it. It's a little off topic. I was at a dog show in Michigan. And I had taken, I think I had an Irish setter and English setter. Anyway, I had befriended this gentleman in English setters, but we never really I befriended him. You know, I did. It was English setters. Befriending English setters. We never really spoke. I didn't know each other's names, but we were friendly. And I'm in the restroom, and he's in the restroom as well. We're chatting. He says, oh, did you see Will Alexander's here with his Irish setter? I didn't say a word. I let it go. Really?
So now I left him back in the setup. Oh, that's
fun. I went, and then eventually he saw me in the group with Aris, and he's like, ah, we had a big laugh.
That's pretty funny. A lot of people confuse you with Doug, and I think that's hysterical. Yeah. It does happen, right?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Oh, yeah. I think it's just because we're Canada. Yeah. We show a lot of the same breeds. And
yeah. And you're both
buddies, you know.
Well, one's Canadian, one's American. So. You can tell them apart now.
Yeah, exactly.
Got the paperwork to prove it. I had an exhibitor recently tell me they were surprised when I gave them Best of Breed. And I asked why, and they said, I'm just surprised. It was fascinating. I knew exactly why they were saying that. They thought I was going to put up another dog. Well, you judge them on the day. Yeah. And and I do this every time I judge now. You know that statement from Tom Horner that we talked about on the show a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
I read that to myself in the morning.
I mentioned that yesterday to Fred Petty in my interview. I think it's a great quote. So
yeah, I read it before I walk in the ring. That'll keep you straight and it'll keep you thinking, okay, I've got to erase all that from my head and not care what people think. Some, you know, it's a horse for the course, different rings for different dog, different, you know, grass, carpet, whatever it might be. And also a new dog or two that you haven't seen. And when two worlds collide, there's two dogs of a certain breed right now. They're bitches actually. And I've done for both of them. And I'm pretty sure now if I got them together, I knew what I would do, but I'm not certain.
Yeah, exactly.
How can I be certain? How can I be certain?
All comes down to timing.
Yeah. And you know, there's days when a dog doesn't want to be there, you know, do everything to screw himself up. And there's just days when they're both behaving well. It's just a different day, different ring, different dogs. Yeah. There's a I guess people probably have talked about this one before, but there's a, I think it's currently being shown, a dog who a judge started with an enormous one at one of the most famous dog shows in the world, and a year later gave it fourth in an average group. I don't see the problem with that. Those other three dogs weren't there.
Oh, exactly. That's the way it goes, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I went past a zoo I remember going to a zoo with my Gordon Setter, my old dog, years ago under Skip Stambridge. Next day he gave me second. And everybody's like, oh my God. I said, the Cocker wasn't in Besson show last night, guys.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and Skippy's going to do the right thing. You know,
no matter what.
Yeah, no matter what. So, yeah, it was fun. At the same English Setter won 3 days, but I think all the other breeds were different dogs almost every day. One English Setter bitch was best of winners 3 days. So there was plenty of different. Oh, we had Gordon down there. Actually, Gordon and I did the same thing.
For the breed
and Irish Setters. And Desi had, Desi put a real good one up too. You know, you can't complain about the three or four dogs that were in there. You can't. They were all good dogs. And it just depends on where you're at and what they look like and what you're thinking at the moment. So. Yeah, it's all good. It's a lot of fun. I'm going down to Tallahassee next to my dear friend Leah James, who I love. Judging from her, it's a 5-dayer.
When is that?
Tallahassee is the 20th. It's the last weekend in February, I think. 27th. Yeah. So it's a Thursday, Friday. It might even be a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And what about that topic? What about having 10 days in a row?
Oh, it's exhausting. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. I was at shows where there were 5 in a row and one handler went home in the middle day, let his dogs run around. I thought that was a wonderful thing to do. Yeah. What's going to happen with all this? Did you see the new rules?
No.
I'm going to get it wrong if I give the details, but I can tell you the essence of the rule is you can have as many specialties as you want. Have a million of them. If you're a breed club, have a million of them. Put them on all breeds. Put them in here. You can have 2 a day. You can. Oh yeah, I think you can exceed 2 a day now. Whatever it is, it's a monstrous spread of how many specialties you can have. I don't know. In fact, I really enjoy these winter garden specialties. Don't get me wrong, but remember when a dog could say, "I won combined."
Yeah.
Big deal.
Or even
right?
Best of winners are combined. My dog was best of winners combined. You know?
Yeah, really? That's like the national. Yeah. We had 4, 5, 6 winners in each breed of combined this year.
I remember Marquis going best of winners combined when I was a kid, thinking, you want to be best of winners combined.
Combined. And for those of you who don't know the lingo, combined used to be the 3 setters, English Irish
setter specialties,
across the street. And it was one show. And now the way it's developed over the years, just to make ends meet and make it work. It's a different system now, different world, different economy. There was 2 days this weekend to combine, and then there were single days. So you had 4 or 5 chances, depending on your breed, to win specialties. So there wasn't any one combined winner. There wasn't even any dog who swept, I don't think. So, it's a different world, Will. It's a different world. So
it was a huge deal.
Oh yeah. And the nice part, it was still
a great win. But I mean, when I was a kid, it was a huge deal to win.
Still a great win for sure. It's just that it's 4 or 5 of them a year. You won't remember it. You know, you remember who won combined. You just said Marquis back then, right?
And that was just the winners.
Yeah, that's right. And you won't remember the 4 that won the breed this year, probably. But still, it was just such a fun weekend. There was a post today I wanted to mention. Could have been yesterday. Someone concerned that a breed club moved their specialty to an independent event. The suggestion was that would keep the handlers out, and that's why the club did it. I'm not sure about that. Lindsay, our beagle friend from California, had a good response saying, you know what? We had an independent specialty last year. And it was wonderful. There's more camaraderie. There's more interaction with breeders. You know, you get all the breeders and all the exhibitors, and you might get some handlers, but and you probably will, but it's a small, confined, one-time thing. It makes it special. It makes it special. And, you know, if the handler has to miss a three-day weekend, I get that economically, but, you know, it's the way it is. And I don't think you're going to chase the handlers away if it's a client they have with a bunch of good dogs and they're gone. But handlers do have to make a choice.
Right.
And
independent specialties it's nice when there's one winner for the day. They're really, it really makes it a little more memorable. You know, you go away from that event thinking, he just went best of breed. You know, it's just.
And he gets to be the winner for 24 hours or maybe a week. You know, that's a big deal for me.
It is.
In these two show days, two best in shows, geez, the first guy didn't even get to be best in show for 6 hours. He didn't even get to be the king for 6 hours, you know? Yeah, it takes a little esteem out of it. I love the independent specialties. It does bring a sense of camaraderie. I think you get more breeders, more owner handlers coming, and I think it's a good balance. And it works out. It's depending on timing. Winter Garden Specialties got hurt for two reasons. The garden wasn't that same week. I mean, that's the obvious one reason it got hurt. And I guess a little COVID probably too. But the other shows, the only other shows were in Texas or the big ones in Rose City Cluster in Portland, which are great shows. So handlers could either, and exhibitors and breeders and owners, certainly not just handlers at all. If you're an exhibitor and a breeder and you live in California and you're coming to the garden, you're going to stop and show at Winter Garden Specialties. But if you're an owner breeder with a kennel in California, and it's not that big of a drive to go to Portland, you're probably going to go there instead, especially if there's four shows or whatever it is, or even if there's two. It's just a distance thing and cost thing.
Sure, they all, a lot of them probably had the thought of double entering just in case, you know, something.
Well, they were. Yeah, I noticed in the catalog after the show that some of the dogs, big winning dogs from out west, they were entered, but they didn't come. And that's acceptable and fine and understandable.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a different world now. The independents bring you back to when it was about breeders and exhibitors and handlers and judges and camaraderie and family. And I just love it when everyone who loves that breed has come from all over the country, not just the country, now the world, to one place in Ohio or something. And you get to see a couple hundred, in Beagles or whatever it might be. And I don't know, take the weekend off and go to one of those. That's the ones to see. That's the ones to see. Yeah. Now we're tagging them on all breeds, which is fine too, I guess. It's just not the same.
Yeah, it's not the same feel. You know? And sometimes as a handler, I remember, oh my God, I hope I can make the setter, especially. Hope I'm not stuck somewhere. You know.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, what else is new, young William? You're getting a puppy, I hear.
Yeah, a puppy arrives today, actually. Another puppy, a Miss P granddaughter. I'm going to take
that's
her.
That's super exciting.
Yeah, we're going to raise her up and see how it goes. We'll see how the other crew accept her. You know?
Yeah, that's what I mean about exciting.
We don't need a dog, Dad.
You love me, right? You love me, love me, love me, love me, love me. No, we don't like you very much at all, in fact. One less cookie for me. But if she's anything like Miss P, she'll walk in that house and go, hey, I know I'm small, but trust me, I am in charge here.
I don't know. I already have a leader here that just, although he may get sucked in by a pretty face.
It's happened before, Will. It's happened before. Wonderful. Well, I don't know. I've got a couple of things I've got going on this week that are going to be fun and not fun. And the whole thing I'm keeping in my mind is looking forward to Tallahassee and Steve's going to be judging down there again.
Steve, good.
Yeah, it'd be fun to see him again. And Marjorie Mortarella from the past. And we were neighbors for many years. I painted the inside of her house when I was a teenager. Back in 64, I was playing for the Leafs. They gave me the weekend off.
Money.
I think I remember painting the clothes in her closet too by accident. I think something I wasn't good at painting then. And I had the tooth. I was whistling. Yeah, it was tough. Anyway. All right. Well, I think it's been a good week of dogs and a good week of friends. And I want to keep that in mind. It's what it's about, is those friends, that friendship, those dogs, seeing new puppies, seeing old veterans that you haven't seen, and getting around the table and talking about dogs. And I certainly had that opportunity, and I loved every single second.
Yeah, getting together with like-minded people is like why we do this sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad Mary is
You gotta go back and watch it again.
I know Adam won't like it, but you gotta drill that one up because it's just so funny. Especially for a guy who's so good, who knows exactly what he's doing.
When he was younger there, it's such a great video though, him when he's in the bull massive and he hits the pillar. It's
like... You know, when you fall, there's a falling process. You see it coming, you can't stop it. When you run into a post, there's no seeing it coming.
Bless his heart.
Good times, good times. All right, Will, take us out, buddy.
All right, drive safe, everyone, and party on, Garth.
Party on, Neil Young.
Yes! Neil Young.
Till next week. Thank you.
Party on, Garth.
I'm born no run, way. Way.
Down rocky cliffs. Give me grace. Bury my sins. Shattered glass.
So Ernie can use this in the blooper reel.
That's right. We love you, Ernie.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Yellow hills. Quit taking yourself so damn seriously.
Watch the move under my feet. Stranger things have come and gone. To see the world and take the throne.
Thanks, Ernie.